Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh,
you're in the madhouse now.
The Homance Chronicles.
The female equivalent of a bromance.
So many poor choices.
But so many good times.
But so many poor choices.
Here we are. It's us. We are them. The Homance Chronicles. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Nicole.
Wow. Y'all, this retrograde's hitting us in the head, neck and the back.
If you're unaware, Mercury retrograde happens 3 or 4 times a year, and it's when it appears as though the planet Mercury spins backwards. It doesn't actually.
But it looks like it.
But at this time, the planet Mercury controls communication, technology, etc. And so...
commonsensical bullshit, you know.
So everything's harder.
A lot harder, and you have to work harder to just be here and just be at the same level you were at pre-retrograde. God, retrograde's like, I don't know, astrology's version of PMS, maybe. Because there's a shadow phase, right, before and after.
Yeah,
and then the during is just real fucky. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Oh, the stars are having their period.
Right. I'm just going to say, like, I'm going to text you one day when, like, things are extra fucky, you know?
Yeah.
Like, someone calls me and I'm trying to answer the phone, but the phone won't let me answer it. And right. It's a really important call. I'm going to be like, oh, my God, Mercury retrograde has cramps today. Like, extra.
Jesus, man. I knew something was up when I drove. I can't remember where I drove, but I saw, like, 3 people do some of the dumbest shit I've ever seen in a car. Like, ma'am, pull over. Pull over and take a breath. You need it.
Oh, awesome. Man, we all need to take a breath. Whew.
Collectively. And 1, 2, 3.
Seriously.
So I have a fun pre-story. I live in a little town now, not near the city, hustle and bustle. It's very much like, it's just woods, cabins, and random things here. And so Saturday morning, I woke up, we were out of coffee, and fury and rage for all I saw, well, I thought. And I was like, you know what, there's a little nutrition place that I went to earlier in the week. I got myself a tea and a smoothie. I'll just go up there, treat myself, and get my chores done, whatever. So I go up there, and I had been there, like I said, earlier in the week, and it's a cute little establishment. They've got a little bar that goes the length of the store. It's like one of those stores where you, like, walk in. And
you don't have to use your hands.
Yep,
because
you're right.
Nobody, but I think everyone would rather like to hear you.
But I do need to use my arms because that's how I operate. Anyway, they have, you know, this really cool, or not really cool, but this like taller bar that goes the length of the store. And there were 2 white passing ladies there who, I'm just going to be disrespectful and label them, like, they looked like Karens. They, you know, they had the Karen hairdo and the Karen outfits. And I thought for sure that they were just going to be bitching about normal Karen things. So I get there. I don't know what I want yet. As I'm perusing the menu, somebody calls and places an order. This is very important. Somebody calls, places an order. Then finally, I'm like, okay, I figured out what I want. So the lady starts making my tea. I got a tea and a smoothie. Sitting at the bar next to the ladies, but kind of little, you know, off a little bit further from them, not trying to invade any spaces or anything like that. And they're talking about how they love LL Cool J And they all three, the lady behind the counter who owns the shop and the two ladies at the counter, were talking about how magnificent he is. And then also Usher came into conversation and they were arguing about who was going to marry LL Cool J and who was going to marry Usher. I'm like, these are maybe my people. I feel like this is kind of funny. And they continue to talk. But as you know, I'm not paying very much attention. The person on the phone walks in and it turns out it's one of the girls that works at the pet store, literally just two blocks down ish, you know. And mm-hmm. I know her and she's really good and she's sweet and she's so kind and she's running late for work. And I was like, you can make her stuff before mine. It's totally fine. I am in no hurry. So they were like, are you sure? Are you sure? I'm like, yes, I'm absolutely positive. Make her stuff. So we chat for a second. Her stuff gets made. And then she goes about her business. She leaves and it's my turn for my smoothie to be made. In the meantime, these two women are saying things that like I'm cracking up about. I can't remember specifics at this point, but I started to chime in here and there. And then eventually they just sucked me into their conversations, as you know, that
mm-hmm.
happens.
Mm-hmm.
And they're telling me all their wild stories about how they were growing up and how racist their family members were and how their cousins and everybody like got shit on by grandpas and uncles for dating people outside of their race, which is Italian, turns out.
Okay.
Yep. And I'm like, okay, this is going to be interesting. And she goes, proceeds to say that her husband looks like Cheech Marin or something like that. And I'm like, oh, that's actually very funny. She's like, when I met him, he had a Fu Manchu. He had to get rid of it. And I was like, oh, that's kind of adorable. I love this. She goes, you want to hear I met my husband? I'm like, I guess I have no choice. Let's run it. But absolutely, at that point, I was super interested because these women were blowing me away. Just like thing after thing.
They broke said, your like, stereotype. Yeah.
100%. I will no longer have that stereotype in my head ever again. I've just, they obliterated it.
Right. They let you know off rip that they wanted to ride some black dick. So you yes. were like, okay.
100%.
All right. Well, we're right. here.
So this woman proceeds to tell me how she was a little saucy back in the day, but she was also fat. Her words, not mine. Mm-hmm. She was a fluffy lady, but she was, and maybe she was obese for her stature. I don't know. I don't judge. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But she kept saying like, I wasn't pretty. I was funny and fat. And I was like, all right, cool. She's telling me how her and her friend were at the gas station. And you know, this is back in the day. Before the towns that we currently live in grew up and got bigger, they were out in the Brighton area, which was literally just up north cottages at this time. And
mm-hmm.
Grand River ran through it,
mm-hmm.
connects to Novi. So they're in the area where they lived in the city. They grew up downtown Detroit. That's where they were living, et cetera, et cetera. And she was out in some area that wasn't downtown Detroit. I think it may have been Novi or something like that. And it was daytime. Her friend was driving. They left the gas station, or as they were leaving the gas station, Mistaken Karen, we're going to call her that. Mistaken Karen was like, that guy with the feathered blonde hair is a fucking total babe. So she started hitting on him. And of course he was responding, reciprocating, because she had her wits about her. She was a real sassy lady. I love her to death.
Mm-hmm.
One of those ladies. And, you know, she's hitting on him, flirting with him, whatever. And she was like to her friend, like, you need to pull over, pull around. Her friend's like, I'm not pulling over for you to hit on this man on the corner at the gas station. You already rubbed one's arm. Like, no, leave it be. The chick was like, you're going to stop. She did not stop. Her friend kept going. So she gets home, calls the gas station. I'm looking for the blonde haired man with the feathering blonde hair and the muscles and da da da. And the kid's like, yeah, that's so-and-so. And he works here tomorrow. And he hung up on her. She's like, okay, cool. Calls back, not the next day, but the day after. And this guy on the phone is like, who are you looking for? What do you want? She's like, there's a blonde guy with feathered hair. This, that, and the other thing. He was supposed to be working yesterday. And he goes, and the guy on the phone is like, oh, that was so-and-so. That there's nobody there here that looks like that. That works here. And she goes, all right, well, what do you look like? And he goes, well, I look like Cheech Marin. She goes, all right, that's good enough for me. And so they started having conversations. And it got to a point where she would have conversations with him almost daily while he was working and or at the house that he lived at. Probably a couple months or so. They're just talking on the phone all day on occasion.
She's calling the gas station?
Mm-hmm.
And she's yep. okay with dating the guy who works at the gas station?
He was a manager.
Okay.
But she wasn't trying to date. They were just, she was just doing what I used to do, like, whatever happens, happens type shit. No planning. Not trying to put labels on it. She goes and hangs out with some of her friends, and she was supposed to actually meet up with him for the first time finally. Well, her friend dropped her off really, really late, and it's midnight. She walks in the house, you know, Italian family. Her phone rings. She's like, oh, fuck. He knows. She answers the phone. He's like, hey, man, what the fuck? When are we going to meet? Like, we need to do this. She's like, he's like, what's your address? I'm coming to get you. So she gave him her address. A couple minutes later, 20 or so, he pulls up and she takes him in, you know, and she was like, I mean, he was a spectacle for sure. He had his leathers on. He had a nice car, this, that, the other thing. She was like, I felt kind of insecure because, like, even though he had the Fu Manchu, I thought it was super ugly. Like, I still wanted him to like me. And I was like, well, obviously you invested quite a bit of time chatting with him on the phone for a couple of weeks, months, whatever. And so she decides to, like, go outside and greet him. And she doesn't really know how to act. And he was like, this, that, the other thing. He goes, well, you know, do you want to come to the house? She goes, oh, I don't know. Well, I guess, first of all, they went, they like hugged. And she was like,
I'm like, how long is this story? You're right. Losing me.
I know. Sorry. So first of all, they hug. And she was like, oh, is that a sausage in your pants? Or are you just happy to see me? And he laughed. He's like, all right, let's get out of here. And she's like, okay. Like, she's super nervous because she's thinking like he's going to take her to go make out or whatever. So they go to Brighton. At the time, there's nothing there. And he starts to pull in to these houses in this area that all these houses are really kind of nice and bigger. And he like just decides to park in front of one. And she goes, you can't stop here. These people are going to be upset that you're parking in front of their house. He's like, this is my house. He's loaded. His dad left him with a bunch of money. Mom and grandma come out of the house. Grandma looks like Italian Dolly Parton with giant titties, super skinny, giant blonde bouffant. Oh,
Your audio is cutting out, but I will let everybody know you were impersonating a Dolly Parton that's Italian.
Thank you. So he comes out, and then, you know, the grandma, the potato, the grandma shaped like a potato, comes out in her wheelchair, and she's yelling about something in Italian. And they've been together for over 30 years. And I just thought that was the cutest little story ever.
Wow. That's crazy.
And they're only about 10 years older than us. So
that's crazy.
Yeah. Still together to this day.
Huh.
Living in the same house.
Really?
Yeah. Because the dad built it.
Damn.
I know. So be adventurous, hoes.
Right. I was going to say all these like, what are they, relationship experts, dating coaches, et cetera, who are like, be in your feminine energy, you know, I mean, let him know or whatever. She was like, I'm trying to hunt down this man, and then yes. Found a different one.
Yep. She was all in on this feathered blonde hair dude. Ended up marrying Cheech Marin.
That's so weird, though, like, that the phone conversations kept happening.
I mean, I think it's like one of those things where you find you're interested in somebody, but the times didn't allow for you to fully connect. There's no text messaging.
Right. Yeah.
So it's one of those like over time situations where it's just curiosity and interest one, and they bloomed into this beautiful couple.
How funny. That is the most random story I've ever heard. No wonder she was like, do you want to hear about it? Because it is a great story.
It's a tale. Yeah. And I felt like I was at Cheers. So I'll be going back on Saturday.
Funny. Yeah.
I know what kind of cars they all drive. So the next time I drive by and they're there, I'm popping in. Sup, bitches.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Hey, besties.
For real. Can't wait for you to move over here so you can come with me.
I don't have to live there to come with you. I can just
True.
come with you.
This is true. All right. We'll plan a date.
So speaking of breaking stereotypes,
Oh.
the hoe of history that we're talking about today did have a brief moment where she was trying to break her stereotype. So it's an interesting correlation between your story and mine.
What a fun little lead-in.
It is, yeah. So since it's the holidays and I'm not in the holiday spirit, I was like, I was like, let me see
I'm
if
fucking tired
there's
of this shit already. Here we go.
let me see if there's anything here that's interesting that's gonna maybe perk me up for like,
That's
Christmas time.
fucking funny.
So the classic movie, classic Christmas movie, It's a Wonderful Life. The wife, one of the main characters in the movie, the wife's name is Mary Bailey, is played by Donna Reed. Okay.
Yes.
Now, the article that I stumbled upon while trying to figure out who I was going to pick that would have any influence over Christmas is this article written by Joe Reed in Decider, and it's called 15 Women Who Deserve More Attention in Christmas Classics.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. I know White Christmas very well. We watched that movie often when I was younger, and I find it to be very soothing. It's one of my little, I'll put it on and I just know type movies, you know? It's like my office space, or no. Yeah.
Well, I did not do White Christmas. I did A Wonderful Life.
That's what it was. Wonderful Life. White Christmas too, but A Wonderful Life. My bad.
So, just a quick little synopsis here from that article. It says, well, Joe wrote, George Bailey is the one who gets to have the long, dark night of the soul, seeking what the world would be like if he'd never been born. But you know who's doing all the hard work while George is on a guided tour of Dark Bedford Falls? Mary. That's who. It's George's faithful and long-suffering wife who scrambles to get the word out that George is in financial trouble. And by the end of the movie, all those souls whose lives George had impacted for the better come through with donations. So
Yep.
we're going to talk about Donna Reed, who played Mary Bailey.
I'm here for this.
So Donna was born Donna Belle Mullinger on January 27th, 1921. So she was born on a farm near Denison, Iowa, and was the oldest of five children. She grew up as like a farm girl, but she was not a tomboy. She was like very beautiful, like a girly girl, and won a beauty contest, actually.
Oh, shit.
And then in 1936, while she was a sophomore at the Denison High School in Iowa, her chemistry teacher, Edward Tompkins, gave her the book How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. Now, let me tell you how I did not know this book was said. Okay.
I was not prepared for that delivery either, because we've both been to corporate America training
Let me tell
courses.
you how I had to Google original copyright date. Okay. 1936 is when that book came out.
Holy shit. Are you
I know.
serious?
Yes.
I was not ready.
Yes. Dale Carnegie is that old and was putting out self-help books back then.
Well, I'll be dipped.
Yes.
I wasn't prepared.
So.
I thought it was like 60s, 50s. Shit.
So yeah, Donna reads How to Win Friends and Influence People. And after reading it, she won the lead part in the school play and was in the top 10 of her graduating class.
Hell yeah, Donna.
After high school, she planned on being a teacher but didn't have money for college. However, she did go to college. So I'm not sure where the disconnect is exactly. Because she figured out a way to go to California and go to Los Angeles City College. And so while she was attending Los Angeles City College, she performed in various stage productions. I don't think her intention was to become an actress, but she was named Campus Queen and her picture was put in the newspaper. And then that brought her attention from movie scouts.
Hell yes, Donna. She's just so living then, her best life.
She received several offers to screen test for studios and eventually signed with MGM. But she insisted on finishing her education first. So she completed her associate's degree and then signed with an agent.
I don't mind if I do.
So her first film was a minor role in MGM's The Getaway in 1941. So she was in her first major film at 20 years old. So she was initially billed as Donna Adams in that movie. And then quickly, MGM decided to change her name to Donna Reed because apparently that sounded less German, like this was during World War II. And so Donna said, a studio publicist hung that name on me, meaning Donna Adams, their last name. A studio publicist hung that name on me and I never did like it. She said, I hear Donna Reed and I think of a tall, chic blonde that isn't me. Donna Reed, it has a cold, forbidding sound. So, I don't know.
I don't know if I placed it there, but all right. I mean, I guess it's different times, different times.
So she goes to star in two more movies that come out in 1941. Then she has her breakthrough role in Shadow of the Tin Man. And then the studio started giving her better parts. She was in a lot of movies. It was like somewhere around like 10 movies. I didn't even want to count them all. I just was like, okay, there's somewhere around 10-ish between 1942 and 1945. So she was hammering them out. I mean, some of them were just cameo parts, but some of them like were more serious. And this is what kind of gets her to be into like this more leading lady role in Hollywood. So that's where It's a Wonderful Life comes in. So despite the fact that she had obviously done many films, like I mentioned, the director of It's a Wonderful Life, Frank Capra, didn't have any interest in her. Mm-hmm. There were at least three other actresses that were considered before her. So, and this is like a theme in her life. So the scene in It's a Wonderful Life where Mary pelts a rock through a window, the director, who was not obviously originally a fan of her, had hired a dude to throw the rock for her. But Donna threw the rock and hit the window dead on in one take. So I guess
bitches.
He wasted his money.
This is what I like to hear.
So she's known for playing this sweet and steady Mary Bailey in the Christmas classic. She had a very girl next door appeal, an on-screen reputation for like wholesomeness. So this is where the stereotype breaking comes in, because she didn't win any awards for that role. But she did win an Academy Award for playing a prostitute, though.
Fuck.
So in 1953, at 32 years old, she took home an Oscar for Best Supporting Actress for playing a sex worker named Alma, who was entangled in a tortured relationship with Army Private Montgomery Clift in the film From Here to Eternity.
From Here to Eternity? Was that a riff on Big Alma in the California area?
I don't think so.
Probably not.
So they couldn't really call her a sex worker or a prostitute or a hooker or any of those things. Like, they had to call her a hostess.
Ugh.
I know. But anyway.
You just
made see that?
All right, quick sidebar. Nicole got a new Mac, and apparently the camera has all these different little gesture recognition things where she'll put her hands up and balloons will show up, or hearts, or a thumbs up. And she just did some fucking hand movement and made the balloons pop up, and I want to see it again.
What if I did like air quotes? I don't even know what I did that Matt was like.
I feel like I need to look these up for you.
Oh my God. So anyway, she's playing this sex worker in a relationship with an army private. So this made her popular with American servicemen. So in 2009, someone was at Donna's former home and discovered a shoebox in the garage.
Okay.
It contained at least 341 letters from young servicemen dated during the years of World War II.
Oh, my.
And Donna had become their pen pal because these men gushed over her. One of the guys wrote, "You are a typical American girl, someone who we would like to come home to."
Oh, you little whore. I'm just kidding. It's terrible. I shouldn't say that.
But you should also hold your mic to your mouth so I can hear you.
You're right. Sorry.
So, trying to break free of her typecast, she pissed off the studio executives because they felt like they had very carefully, like, nurtured this image of her. And so Donna said the whole point about Elma was she was a prostitute who didn't look like one.
Ugh.
She said, trying to tell that to the studios, all the Oscar brought me was more bland goody two shoe parts. So she never like got to depart from like the American housewife girl next door ever again.
Oh, that's a bummer for her.
So, yeah.
She crushed it for us, though, in the film industry.
So, I mean, despite her winning this Oscar for this like grittier role, she had this on-screen reputation for wholesomeness. So it kind of took over her success. I mean, she worked on a few other films in 1953, 54. She was in movies with like Dean Martin, Elizabeth Taylor, Frank Sinatra. Like she was alongside all the biggies.
She wasn't fucking around, that's for damn sure.
Nope. But she did decide to abandon her film career because she wasn't getting enough like varying roles.
Do you blame her?
I don't know. So this is what she did. This was her like fuck around and find out. She went into television and started making guest appearances and then created her own show.
Bitches. Paving the way for Betty White. Yeah.
So she created her own TV series. It was a sitcom and it was produced by her second husband, Tony Owen. And it was called The Donna Reed Show.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. Although it's crazy she didn't love the name, but here we are.
So her first husband, which we didn't talk about, was makeup artist William Tuttle from 1943 to 1945. Now, already I'm like, okay, that was short-lived. He was a makeup artist. There's some suspect things on whether he was, like, into women or not. I mean, again, stereotyping. I mean, it's the key word of the day, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was other things amok.
Amok.
So that same year they got divorced, she married producer Tony Owen, who I said was the producer on her show, right? Well, he also happened to be her agent and was 14 years older than her.
Daddy issues.
So Donna and Tony had four children together.
Holy shit.
Well, the first two were adopted.
Okay.
The second two were their biological children. Which that's a theme we've been coming across too. A lot of these couples adopted children back in the day. Like,
yeah,
I've talked about that a couple of times.
Yeah.
So on the Donna Reed show, she played a wise and loving wife and mother. While it was a return to her stereotype, the sitcom eventually became hugely successful and ran until 1966. She received Emmy nominations 4 years in a row, but never actually took home the Emmy. She did win a Golden Globe for Best Actress in a leading role in a comedy series in 1963. So it wasn't like an instant hit, but it did become one of like the top 25 television shows.
I mean, that's a big thing.
Yeah. So then she decided to kind of slow down a little bit when the show ended. She took some time off to raise her children and started becoming more active in politics. She was a known Republican, but her viewpoints started shifting during the Vietnam War because her oldest son was at an age where he could be drafted. So in 1967, Donna became a peace activist and co-chaired the anti-war advocacy group called Another Mother for Peace. And the group's slogan was, "War is not healthy for children and other living things."
And other living things.
I know, it wasn't catchy, but...
I get it.
But
it encompasses all of us and then some.
Yeah. So all this activism work helped her find her voice. So Hollywood Studios had trained her to basically keep her mouth shut.
Right.
You know, they make it seem like the women's careers depended on them not making a fuss, you know?
Yes.
So Donna says, quote, "I'd been overwhelmed by hopeless despair, having two sons who might have to go to Vietnam to fight. Then one night at a rally for Eugene McCarthy, a mic was put in front of me unexpectedly, and I heard myself speaking what I thought."
Oh, I got chill bumps.
Right?
Yeah.
So then in 1971, she's around 50 years old at this time. Her and Tony had been married for 26 years.
Oh, wow.
But then they got a divorce.
Oh, no.
3 years later, she married Grover W. Asmus. A-S-M-U-S. I was trying not to say Asmus.
I feel like I've spoken about Grover before.
Well, he's a retired United States Army colonel.
Okay, maybe
so not. I don't know. So Donna is making sporadic acting appearances and made for TV movies. She's, you know, she got a guest appearance on The Love Boat.
The Love Boat.
This is the juicy bits that we love. Are you ready?
I'm here for the tea.
The juicy bits. So she ended up replacing Barbara Bel Geddes on the show Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Barbara quit the soap opera Dallas because apparently her salary demands were unmet.
Good
so
for
Donna,
her.
Donna slips into that role of Eleanor or Miss Ellie Ewing, the oil matriarch on the show. Since the ratings remained consistently high while Donna was on the show, the producers extended her contract for 2 more years. So her initial contract was only 1 year.
Didn't
Do you have a question?
Just refresh that soap opera.
Yes.
Like, okay, just making sure.
It's a reboot.
It's something else.
So then, so they renew her contract or extend it, I should say, for 2 more years. But then Barbara comes back and approaches producers about returning. And so they fired Donna.
Oh.
So Donna's like, fuck that. She sued them for breach of contract and collected $1.25 million in damages.
I got chill bumps again. You know, sometimes you just got to play the long game.
So this was in 1985. So yeah. $1.2 million back then, now in today's money, is around $4.3 million.
Unfucking believable. Unfucking believable.
The worst part, though, that you're going to find unbelievable is that she didn't really get to enjoy that money because she had cancer.
Oh, ball sack.
I know. So, I mean, I guess it went to her kids.
Still, that
maybe.
Fucking sucks.
I don't know. It sucks. In December 1985, she was rushed to Cedars-Sinai Medical Center for treatment for a bleeding ulcer.
Hmm.
But that's when they started running tests and they found a malignancy. And so she actually passed away from pancreatic cancer pretty early at age 64 her home
so
in Beverly
sad.
Hills, California on January 14th, 1986. So between the time she went to the hospital for the ulcer and her passing away was like a month or less.
No, it wasn't that long.
Yeah. So she had remained married until her death, and her third husband, Grover, created the Donna Reed Foundation for the performing arts in her hometown of Denison. The foundation helps those like farm kids, basically, who have a desire for a career in the arts. After Donna's death, Frank Sinatra, who was her mm-hmm. co-star in From Here to Eternity.
And White Christmas, right?
Well,
I'm lying to you. Continue.
No, I was going to say no because she wasn't in that movie. Right. I don't know if Frank was. I don't know that movie, but she definitely wasn't. So he sweetly called her a lovely lady, gentle and kind. Obviously, we know Sinatra had a little bit of a reputation with the ladies. And so mm-hmm. he said, quote, "I can remember in the beginning when every guy, particularly myself, who saw her on the screen had a crush on Donna."
Oh, Donna, Donna, Donna.
So one little bit of advice that she left behind that her legacy includes, which is something that I wish I had heard a long time ago, probably wouldn't have fully been able to understand the meaning. But when I read this, I was like, holy shit, she's right. It says, when you handle yourself, use your head. When you handle others, use your heart.
Oh, I like that.
Right?
More chills.
Yes. So that is the story of Donna Reed. And I got my information from Decider.com, Wikipedia, IMDb, Britannica, TCM.com, DonnaReed.org, TheNewYorkTimes.com, Fascinate.com, and a video on YouTube from the Clad Right radio channel.
Oh, thank you for sharing Donna's little story there. Donna,
she had a lot of heavy-hitting information.
Fuck yeah, she did. Absolutely.
I was like, well, shit.
Oh, goddamn. Oh, my goodness.
Lots of juicy bits.
Yes. I feel like any star from that era is going to have like some tea to spill. There was just so much craziness and chaos.
But we don't always have it documented.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, yes. There's, okay. So I'm not sponsored, not expecting people to go do this, but there's a podcast called Deathbed Confessions. And I listened to it. And the very first episode is like the movie industry. And how the movie industry and the government were at war or whatever. And there's a woman involved in this deathbed confession. And it's really, really, really fucking crazy. I'd highly recommend listening to at least the whole podcast, but at least the one episode is good. And like, it was so drama all the time. And women just did not have any rights. They were treated like children. So good for her for making it through. Suing people for not upholding their ends of the contracts, creating her own fucking show so she could have her own airtime. Like, yes.
I know, right? And then in between all this, she decides to be an activist.
Right. For some reason, they all had time. I feel like if we stopped social media for a minute and we all took that time collectively and put it towards
social media and like television.
Yeah. No, we can't take my television away.
Well, no, I don't want to take anything away. I'm just saying if those things don't exist, but I mean, right. They did exist in her day.
Social media did not.
Social media did not, but television did. Obviously, she was on a show, but.
Right.
When you think about today, yes, how much time we go into the sunken place.
The sunken place. Oh my God, that's fucking hilarious. And now forever will be that in my head. I'm at the sunken place. I got to get out.
Yeah, just the spin cycle of Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, like whatever your thing is, right? You're just like, you go between the apps.
The sunken place.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Thank you.
That was quite the surprising story for me, to be honest.
Yeah, no shit. Because
I didn't even know her name.
Okay, so I was in the play.
It's a Wonderful Life?
Yes. When I was a child. Well, maybe I was in high school. Had to have been. But yeah, I was in that play. And I remember being like, man, poor Mary. Freaking George is a mess. But that's like the extent of how much I thought about it.
And I've only watched It's a Wonderful Life once. And I think I've only seen it in pieces because George is a mess. And I'm like, this is dumb. This is not a fun holiday movie. Like, why did it ever become a fun holiday? Like, why is this a
It's not fun. It's just a holiday movie. Like, I right, would recommend White Christmas.
It just so happens to be that it's around that time of year. So they've now dubbed it a Christmas classic. And I'm like, this shit's depressing.
Yeah, it's super fucking depressing. I don't like love it.
No. So I don't choose to watch it.
No.
Because that's not the uplifting rom-com shit that I like.
Every
around
time
the holiday.
A bell rings, an angel gets its wings. Sad as shit.
Seriously, I'm over here like, please make it as cheesy and as cute as possible to help get me in the
I like gimmicks.
The mood.
I'll do gimmicks. I just watched, what was it, Christmas with the Cranks?
That's a good one with Tim Allen.
Yep.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yep, I turn it on. I'm not a huge Christmas fan. I'm not either,
but that's a good one.
Yeah, but that one I was like, yeah, this one actually, Tim Allen, fucking hilarious still. This one works.
Yeah, so yeah. Put that on the other like thing. I like Four Christmases, right? With Vince Vaughn and
That was
Reese Witherspoon. Like the non-traditional Christmas movies, I'm like all about.
Mm-hmm. Same.
So anyway. I felt like it was such a good selection of Donna Reed this week, because just the sheer lack of unknowing on my behalf, but the fact that probably the majority of people who are into Christmas know exactly who she is.
Yeah.
But I bet you they didn't know all that juicy tea.
Probably not until now. You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. So I guess it's Attagirl time now.
I guess it is, damn it.
Attagirls are where we have a moment to pat ourselves on the back for something good that we've done or something good that's happened to us. We just like to end on a positive note. Do you want to go first?
Sure. Yeah, sure. We had guests over this past weekend, and instead of like panicking about everything, because like the house hasn't been super clean in a minute, we live here with animals that just run this bitch, and I was kind of nervous, like the perception thing, but I decided to ignore that nervousness and just roll with it, and it turned out to be a really great fun time. We had guests over, it was a couple, and it ended up being completely fine. Nobody noticed anything that I was super duper worried about, and we still had a great time. We had enough time to do everything that we needed to do. So like, I'm just proud of myself for not getting sucked into the thing that I think my mom used to get sucked into, the concern of perception, and just let it ride.
There is, okay, you remember the old Roseanne show?
Yes.
There is this one line, or this moment, I guess, that has stuck with me for forever. And I always refer back to it in my head when I get that like kind of anxiety thing of like, oh God, what are people going to think of my house?
Yeah.
Even though my house is usually top notch.
Yeah, I was going to say, your house is never really that bad.
But there was this one scene where somebody who did not live at the house in Roseanne was coming over, and they walk in the front door, and Roseanne greets them, and she's like, you know, this is our, what'd she say? She goes, this is our house. Sorry, it's like this. We live here. But it's true. Like, you do, like, you can't always have it not cluttered and clean. Like, you live there. Like, it's, you know?
I almost want to make that a frameable. Like, just.
Yes.
We should. It's going to be an Etsy store. Just everybody go to Nicole's Etsy. It'll be there in a week. It'll be fine.
Like, and sorry, we'll attribute it to Roseanne. Even think she said sorry, but I think she was like, this is our house. It's like this, like, because we live here.
Not sorry for the mess. It's like this because we live here. Fuck yeah. I don't know. Roseanne's a nutbag, but at the same time, like, I can appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, old Roseanne, like, it was a staple.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we all knew it. We all watched this. I mean, There wasn't a lot of competition. There wasn't a lot of other female comedian leading shows.
Nope.
Anyway, I don't know why that particular, I can't tell you anything else. I can't even really probably name off all, like, I don't even like know the actors who played most of the people anymore, but I remember that one line.
Fuck yeah, it stuck with you. It's gonna stick with me too. Sorry about the mess. We live here. So good. I'm fucking doing it. I'm printing it out. I'm gonna get it professionally printed on a canvas from Costco or some shit.
So I literally, when I'm like spending that 20 minutes before somebody gets to your house, where you're like rushing through, I'm like, I fucking live here though. Like, there's going to be a glass of water.
Yeah.
Like,
they weren't, it's not like they went up to my bedroom or anything like that.
Right.
You know, like,
I don't,
they didn't see the shit. They didn't see the shit.
Oh man. Is that considered like a positive affirmation? Is that my, like, the motto? Is a motto for today?
Yeah, I'm here for that. I'm not sorry about the mess. We live here.
My attagirl is that I spent all weekend and even today, Monday, that we're recording, moving shit around, organizing, decluttering. My body hurts. My calves are rock hard from going up and down the stairs. I've scheduled a massage. I'm not even actually moving anywhere yet. And
no, you're almost there.
I know it's going to be, it's a process, right? Like, and I'm pretty determined that it's going to happen. This free weekend that I had, I was like, well, let me make my house more presentable, more listing ready, and put a bunch of stuff in the garage, get rid of stuff. Yeah.
Might as well. Proactivity is key.
I know, right? But look at that. I was like, look at me go. I don't even have like a deadline. I don't even have a contract signed.
That's fine. You're manifesting, and I'm here for this because you're about to find the most perfect place that's right next door to my house.
Perfect for whom in that scenario?
Both of us? Hello?
So anyway,
and it feels so good.
If you liked what you heard today, please rate, review, subscribe. It really helps us out when you hit the little subscribe button. You can send us a hoe of history that you'd like us to do on Instagram at homance_chronicles, or send us an email, homancepodcast@gmail.com. We also have homance merch on my Etsy shop, NicoleBonneville.etsy.com. And you can join the Facebook group, closed group called the Homance Chronicles, a judgment free zone, if you dare at this point. Has nothing to do with current content. I think that's it.
Yeah, it is. Homance out.